This is Max Crosby, the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
If you're in a relentless pursuit of finding the competitive edge in everything you're doing, you got to be on.
100%. I expect to win every time I come out on the field. I don't care what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's every drill, everything we do, I'm expecting to win.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
This is going to be a battle. This is going to be physical. This is going to be old school football.
Yes, sir. As a great man once said, just win, baby.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you as we get rolling here, live from Lotus Broadcasting, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They own PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. PT's fuels the monologue. I'm going to give everybody a few minutes to get into the stream. We live stream the show. At times, it's more important to me than anything. It gives added value to my partners. As we added new partners this week, Click Hospitality. They own some of the best lounges in Las Vegas, from 8 Cigar Lounge to Gatsby's to Bel Air at Durango. We added Finley Volvo on the 215 at Rainbow. We got a big car company now. And we added Fountain Blue, one of the most glorious and largest buildings ever assembled in Las Vegas, home of the Hall of Excellence. We added that to the show this year, plus all of our proud partners. So I'm going to give you a minute to get in here. I'm wearing the AC/DC shirt today for a reason. For a reason. And I think it would be better if you can watch me than listen to me, because I'm about to go off. So I'm all in right now. I'm all in right now. Let's go. Here we go. 1-0. The Raider Nation is united. From the voice of the Raider Nation, I can tell you, the Raider Nation is united. There's no more whining. There's no more crying. Who's the coach? Who's the GM? We are united throughout the global Raider Nation as the Chargers come to town, and we need to take them down. We need to put them down. We got an opportunity to go 2-0. This is it. Rolling thunder, pouring rain. This is the moment. Raider Nation is united. You know it. I just said it. Come on. Let's go! Yes, so we're ready to go today. Are you? Show started 4 minutes ago. Where are you? I'm going big today. I'm excited. We got to win this game. And as we said, it's not a must-win game. It's week two. It's the home opener. We've been good in home openers. We beat Lamar Jackson and Drew Brees. Home openers, we've been okay. We've been all right in this spot. Home openers. We've been okay against the Chargers. The greatest game ever played at Allegiant Stadium was when we beat the Chargers with no time left to go to the playoffs. Playoffs, yes. Raiders have been to the playoffs. Haven't won a playoff game in a long time, but we've been. So this is it. We got to win this game. Now, the Chargers are very good. As I said all week long on the show, when we're live on YouTube, get in. JT the Brick YT. We're live on X at JT the Brick. This is the most concerned I've been about the Chargers in my career. Year 28 with the team. The level of concern is at a 9. It was not at a 9 with Phillip Rivers, LaDainian Tomlinson, Hall of Famer Antonio Gates, and even Junior Seau. Sometimes it was about an 8, but I've never been more concerned about that organization because they finally figured it out. They're good. They're very good. They have very good players. You know that. Now, you could say, well, you know, they're the Chargers. They have one fan who happens to be their new super fan. That little lady, who's also a Viking fan that we caught. We caught her at the Viking game doing a fake Viking thing, and she's a Charger fan. She was on the YouTube channel. We have real fans. We have Violator, Gorilla Rilla. We have Just Win Wendy. We have real fans, right, Senor? We got great fans, Thor. We got fans. We get the black hole. No comparison to the Chargers. But they're coming. They got some fans coming. Chargers are building some energy now. They are. And we got to take it down. We got to beat them here. Now, if you don't beat them here, the team, then how do you expect to beat them in L.A. where we don't beat them in L.A.? So this is our home. Pete Carroll wants me to talk about it. If you didn't hear my Pete Carroll interview yet, it's trending at Raiders.com. And he wants to talk to the fans. He gets it. Antonio Pierce loved the fans. Josh McDaniels, he needed the fans, but he was a different. He was a cerebral kind of X's and O's guy, the fan thing. You never liked him. You never gave him a chance. You never gave him a chance. You were right. He's out of here. Okay, we beat him last week. It was good to me, but you didn't like him. Rich Bisaccia you liked. We didn't bring him back, and then you all love John Gruden. Most people love Gruden. But everybody likes Pete Carroll now because you respect him. You know about the halftime adjustments that worked in New England. You know about his success with Seattle going east. Do you know that Pete Carroll on Monday Night Football with Seattle was 14-4? Holy cow, that's like Ken Stabler Madden stuff. So we got a coach that can win in any atmosphere at any time. We haven't had that in a long time. We haven't had a coach that when he came out of the tunnel, you say, we're good. You like the coaches, and they were all good coaches, but Pete Carroll's at a different level than most of them, other than Flores, Madden, and Gruden. And, you know, Gruden's got a Super Bowl. Pete's got one. Pete's the head coach now. I'm fully behind him. Great guy and really been good to me so far in our first two interviews. So let's get a win for him. What's it going to take to win? We got experts today. First off, Lee Sterling will pick games coming up. We have him a little bit later on at the 45. We also have Scott Kaplan from ESPN in L.A. I made him a Raider fan, but he knows the Chargers well. He lived in San Diego his whole career. He's on in L.A. on ESPN, the number two media market. You might have heard the Chargers are based in L.A. The franchise, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Show me your lightning bolt. Hacksaw is going to join us. He's the former voice of the Chargers. He's not very nice with the Raiders, but he's been nicer because I think he likes the direction they're going in. And Wasted Talent, the exceptional Raider podcaster that we've made an insider on this show. So that's a pretty good show, don't you think? We had a big one yesterday. The number 702-365-9200. I look for the best of the best, and I look for fans from all over the country to call me, wherever you are, globally too. 702-365-9200. Pretty cool story yesterday. Yesterday, my day started interviewing Pete Carroll. Then I interviewed Max Crosby. Then I went to my son's office, proud of my son, both my sons, went to his office where I did the Laying the Wood podcast with Rod Woodson, and our guest was Tim Brown. So who in all of sports radio yesterday did that? Interviewed Pete Carroll, Max Crosby, Tim Brown, and Rod Woodson. I had a banner day yesterday. I mean, it was exceptional. And now I get a chance to do it again in the Raider Nation, wearing my AC/DC shirt, fired up for today. There's a little bit of confusion. I don't have the injury report update. We're going to find out. What about Brock's knee? Landon Roberts? We're in the next man up category earlier than I expected. A little bit earlier than I expected as my Wi-Fi is flickering already. Maybe we have too many people in here, Bobby. That's why my Wi-Fi is flickering. But when it comes to this game, we're not going to be at 100%. We're going to have a couple of guys who are most likely banged up, but hopefully play. And then we're going to have next man up guys, right? Next guys up who can step in and do it. You know, if a linebacker goes out and you tell me Jamal Adams is going to play the whole game, I'm okay with that. A year ago, I wasn't okay with that with Jamal Adams. If you tell me that we're going to give Darian Porter some more reps at corner because he didn't get any, played special teams, I'm okay with that because Pete loves to play young guys. But here's the focus of the monologue, brought to you by our great friends at the Fountain Blue, the home of the Hall of Excellence, led by Jim Gray, Fran Gray, and the great Tom Brady. Go see the most spectacular sports Hall of Fame that I've ever seen, the Hall of Excellence at Fountain Blue. What's going on with our offensive line? What's going on? We gave up four sacks, and we couldn't open up holes. We had a tough time opening up holes for Aston Jeanty. What's going on here? We going to fix this? We going to be able to fix this or what? It's the home opener. I need to know that this offensive line is going to have false starts. I need to know that this offensive line can figure out Khalil Mack. I need to know that this offensive line can pick up stunts. And that's what concerned Eric Allen, Lincoln Kennedy, and people that I talked to. If you have a defensive line as good as the Chargers and they're stunting, which means the tackles are pulling and the edge rushers are coming up the middle, we're not very good yet. We could end up being good, but we're not good on tape. And what happens if they bring the blitz? Do we know who's next to us? Like, are we good? I know you go out to dinner with one another, but are we good enough to say, no, I got him, I got him? Meredith's got to call out the coverage. Jackson Powers Johnson's got to go, okay, I got two guys in front of me. One is a defensive end who was supposed to line up next to DJ Glaze, but he's in my house, and a defensive tackle stunting my way. Do we have to leave in a running back to block? Or can we go open with no one in the backfield? I don't know. The Chargers concern me. I think they're well coached. I think they have good players. Most of their players are healthy. Ladd McConkey's healthy. Keenan Allen's healthy. They got guys who can play. And Amari Hampton, their running back's really good, but he didn't get off in the first game, kind of like Ashton. He didn't get off. So I think they're going to run it. I was on a podcast earlier today with my buddy Sammy Batesh, and he said, well, what happens if the Chargers kind of want to run the ball? And I said, great, I'll go pick them up at the airport and drive them. Please run it. Please run it. Even if you're a little bit successful, every time Justin Herbert fades back, I'm concerned because he can make every throw. If our linebackers and safeties don't protect the middle of the field, we're dead. We're dead. Did you hear that? I'll say it again in 3, 2, and 1. If our linebackers, nickel or dime corners, and our safeties don't protect the middle of the field, we're dead. Justin Herbert will eat us up and spit us out. Remember that. For years, I've been telling you, for years, we can't guard a tight end. The middle of the field is our nemesis. You don't think Jim Harbaugh knows that? John Harbaugh knows that. So we got to figure this out. And I think we can figure it out because Jamal Adams will be on the field in some pass coverage, but he'll also be blitzing. I think Jeremy Chinn could play closer to the line of scrimmage and drop into coverage. Isaiah Palamal already has an interception. But Caillou Blue Kelly and Eric Stokes, I'm starting to believe, man, but I gotta see the home opener. So that's where I'm at now. So we have a limited time to talk to you. The phones are open. Bobby unlocked them. 702-365-9200. And let's hear what you got to say on this game. This is kind of the rah-rah portion of the week. I came in with my backpack today, and I said, Bobby, can we have easier Thursdays and Fridays? Because I'm working my ass off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Can we have like some cool Thursdays and Fridays? And he said, yes. We have pick games with Lee Sterling. We're getting wasted talent. We have fun with Hacksaw. And we'll take some phone calls. The Chargers are a favorite coming into Vegas. How is that possible? How are they the favorite when we have Geno Smith, Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty, Jacoby Myers, and Max Crosby? How are they the favorite? Well, Vegas thinks they're better than us. They went to the playoffs last year. Vegas, the bent noses, they think they're better. So, you know, on paper, I don't think they're better than the Raiders. They haven't played each other. I can tell you on Tuesday or Monday night on the postgame show if they're better. I'll be able to tell you. And I'll tell you that. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I'm not going to mock the Raiders if they don't win. I know some of you nut jobs want me to mock the team. But if they don't win the game, we'll be brutally honest, and we'll tell you what happened. But I'm hoping they win this game. My buddy Sammy told me this will be the sixth time in 30 years, potentially, the Raiders have gone 2-0. I said, excuse me? He said this would be the only sixth time in 30 years the Raiders went 2-0. I said, oh, boy. I go, really? We haven't been 2-0 a bunch? No, no, we haven't. But we're 1-0. And I think that's important because 1-0 can get you to 2-2. Last year, we were 2-1. I tell the story. And we weren't prepared to play Carolina. For whatever reason, Bryce Young was benched. The Red Rocket and Andy Dalton was put in. We had a home game against Carolina to go 3-1. And we got blown out. We got embarrassed, man. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. That was Carolina. They're arguably the worst team in football. And then we lost 10 in a row. So going 1-0 gives us the ability to go 2-0. And then we have the Washington Commanders, and then we have the Chicago Bears. You know what I was telling Bobby when I came in? Man, I wish we were playing the Bears. I wish the home opener was against the Bears. You see how bad the Bears looked against J.J. McCarthy? I wish the Bears were here, but no, they gave us the Chargers. And the Chargers just destroyed. They really did destroy Kansas City. The game was closer than you'd think, but the Chargers were the much better team. So I'm really excited because I'm going to the fight on Saturday night. And then I'm going to the game on Monday. And I think we got a big weekend in Vegas. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are coming in. Troy didn't mention us the other night. Didn't mention us. Most people, when they're coming to Vegas, can't stop talking about it. They tell everybody. They tell the grocery store attendant. They tell the pool guy. They tell the UPS driver, I'm going to Vegas. Troy didn't say that. Troy didn't tell anybody he was coming to Vegas at all. Didn't say that Geno played well. He's coming to call the game. And it's a different moment now. This is it for us. We have a chance to have nice things. You know, a lot of Raider fans call me and they say, JT, we don't have nice things. Whenever we do something, we take one step forward and two steps back. Yeah, that's kind of been true lately. How about winning this game to go to 2-0 and really taking the heat off? Taking the heat off of the Washington game. Because Washington's pretty good. They got a really good quarterback, but we finally have a quarterback older and smarter than Jaden Daniels. Maybe not as unique outside the pocket, but as I've talked about this all week, Geno Smith gives the Raider Nation the opportunity to win everywhere. We got a guy that can win in a blowout. We got a guy that can take us from behind and win a game. We got a guy that can close out a game in the fourth quarter. I mean, we got a lot of things happening here with Geno that could help us out. Now, if you said who's better, Herbert or Geno, I think Herbert's a better talent than Geno. But Geno's easily capable of beating Herbert. Easily. And we need that Geno. Geno had a pretty good week one. So that's where I'm going. And I'd like the show to match my energy, please. That's all I ask you to do. Match the energy. Come on in. Come on into our house on Raider Nation Radio. This is Thursday before the game. Okay? It's not Thursday in August. You know, heading into a preseason game. So we want to get rolling here. Follow us on all our social media. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton will join us. Wasted Talent, Lee Sterling, Scott Kaplan. And I just got a text from Johnny Katz, our entertainment reporter, who's in London. He's in London, Bobby. So he's, lucky him. And he's there for a Penn and Teller anniversary. He's friends with those guys. And he might check in, which is really cool if we can take a call from London today. All right, Gangsta Raider has been active this week on the channel, and we're excited to hear from him as we head into game one. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Gangsta Raider reporting from behind enemy lines, or kind of, sort of. You know, L.A. is still Raider Nation territory, so it's kind of behind enemy lines. But I've been watching a lot of Charger interviews and stuff when they was interviewing Coach Harbaugh. And I'm really into body language. And so when they was asking him about the Chiefs, he had his chest out. He was all proud talking about the Chiefs. But then they asked him about the Raiders. His body language changed completely. He went from worried. His shoulders got all cowered in. And then when they asked him about Coach Pete, he had this look like he know he can't really beat him. And then he was really worried about not only about Geno, but he was worried about Ashton Jeanty. And then when they mentioned Chip Kelly, his face got flushed. He looked like he was, like you mentioned, the boogeyman to him. So I say that to say this. I think they more worried about us than we are about them. You know what I'm saying? Because we got the perfect – we're in the perfect spot right now, because if we just handle our business, we 2-0 in the division, first place, you know what I mean? And we got the upper hand on the division already. I think Kansas City is going to go 0-2 because they got to play Philly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think Denver, they got a tough game. I'm not going to say what's going to happen to them, but we're in the perfect spot. And I think Jim Harbaugh knows that. I could see the body language on them. They really worried about us. And this game can take us to the next level. It's not the most important game we had in Vegas. That was the playoff game to me. Mm-hmm. But this is the most game that we got to win. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not a must win, but we can't lose it. And I think they're really worried about us. We can do it. I already told you my prediction, 34-17. We just got to black out the stadium. Ain't no way we should let them 12 Charger fans overrun our stadium. Let's do it. Keep it gangster, y'all. I'm gone.
Yeah, that'd be a nice score to see. Let's go to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll just hit the podium, the head coach. Bobby, are we ready to go? The head coach of the Silver and Black.
Your history with Jim has been a fun rivalry to watch, but it's always been respectful. I'm not trying to make it into anything that's not. But what's your fondest memory of this rivalry with Jim Harbaugh?
I remember Jim. No, I don't. I have no fond memories. I'm not going to go there. They're great games. They've been great games. That's all.
He said that
been a bunch of them.
You guys in a different life could have been great teammates. When he says something like that, what is that?
I think that would come from he's seen my game, and so he would like me to help him win, you know, if I could, and so he'd like us to play together, I guess. One thing we would certainly see eye to eye on is about competing. He's always been a great competitor, and he battled through so much in his playing days and in his coaching days as well. So I appreciate him saying that, because I'd like to play with him too.
He said that you're not on each other's Christmas. Or he's not on your Christmas card list. You expect a birthday card from him then?
Well, I'm surprised he would say that, because he sends me a birthday card every year. So I don't know what to tell you.
Pete, after having a few days off, just how's the Landon Roberts doing with the sprained elbow? Is there?
He's not looking at this game like he can't play. And just like Brock, they're not looking like that at all. They think they're playing. So we'll see what happens. But they got to practice through the week and make it through it. But just in the walkthroughs and all already, they look fine.
Do you expect them to practice?
They're going to do what we ask them to do. They've already got through the walkthroughs and done that. We're going to take them day by day. And I would expect before the week's over, they would.
When you reviewed the film, was there anything that surprised you in a positive sense that maybe was even better than you thought?
Yeah, I was really fired up about the consistency in our effort chasing the football on defense. I thought that all the way through the game, the guys were really on it. The hitting was there. Our tackling was sharp. Guys knocking the piles back. All of that, just the effort that they brought, I was really fired up about. You know, we'd only played probably 8 or 9 snaps at any one time, you know, in a game, so you can't tell. And so you get 40 and 50 plays in the game, and they're still going. D-linemen are chasing the screens and all that stuff out on the perimeter. That's what we hope to see. And so we're really pleased about that.
How surprising was it that it was week 1 and there wasn't very many missed tackles?
We've been working really hard at it. I'm not surprised by it. I'm thrilled. Go the other way, you know. I'm on the positive end of it. That was a really good start, and particularly in the perimeter. And the DBs did a really nice job of cleaning things up. And we were aggressively attacking our opportunities. We weren't just getting the guys on the ground. We went after it really, really cool. On the sidelines, there was a bunch of really good hits and all.
You've got such a veteran group of linebackers. How much of those guys does that group instill what you want to be about?
Since this came together and we saw the guys that we were able to put together, I've been really excited to see them eventually play together and show us what they could do, because they're all tough guys and they all have an attitude about you know, making things happen. They attack very well. From Jamal and all across the board, those guys are all looking to make a play, and they're coming downhill. So if we can, you know, continue to hit the line of scrimmage right and give them a chance to do that, then it's going to be a force in our defense if we're able to keep that going.
Everybody knows what Ashton can do with the ball, but how impressed were you with his blitz pickup and his understanding?
He did really well. He really did. He did really well. We were really pleased about that and noticed it early in the game when he had a couple of chances. That's all he's shown us. He hasn't shown us anything but that, but you still got to do it. And he just fine.
You've always embraced opportunities, and it feels like this is an opportunity, this game on Monday night, national TV, for you to connect with your fans, the team to connect with your fans. What kind of an atmosphere do you expect and you want to see? Would you like to see?
Well, Monday Night Football has been something big to all of us for, you know, all the time we've been around. Talked to the team about that today. Some of our guys and our little kids were, you know, dreaming about playing on Monday night. So it is a big deal. We have to handle it really well. If you look at our days in Seattle, we've done pretty well on Monday night, and expect to continue to find that consistency that you need in that situation, and not let, you know, everything get to your head and take you out of your game. So it's a really big deal to have this opportunity for us, because we have a couple other primetime games coming up later on in the schedule, and I want our guys to really embrace those opportunities.
As somebody coached in a stadium that had such a home field advantage, What's your anticipation for what you're going to get at Allegiant Stadium?
I think it's going to be crazy. I can't wait to hear, you know, the get after it. And this is our first chance to really get in front of them. I don't know how many fans they bring, but I know ours are going to go crazy and be loud, and really looking forward to it. And I hope that we play well enough to keep them, you know, going throughout the whole four quarters.
Watching a week one film, you know, what were some things about Justin Herbert that really impressed you, and much of that of a challenge is that for your defense?
Yeah, he is such a factor that they really play to him. They give him the opportunity in a lot of situations to not just throw the football, but to do his RPOs and get out of the pocket and take off scrambling. There was a play late in the game when they had a chance to ice it in a four-minute situation, and he takes off. It's like third and 13 or something like that. He takes off and makes like 20, and it looked like they knew exactly what they were trying to do. You know, it was a drop-back pass, but he took off. And, I mean, he's got great skills to really make it difficult on the defense. A normal play can be played, defended, rushed well and all that, and then something else happens, whether he's scrambling to throw it or scrambling to run it. And that factor is the most difficult factor in football to control. And so that's why they've been successful, and they have a great chance to continue that.
Pete, when you looked at your team and looked at the adjustments, all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, There were adjustments. There was talking common guys down. How proud are you? Were you of your staff?
Yeah, we did adjust well at halftime. The games turned. You saw us come right back out after not really working as well as we liked to on offense. We went right down the field again to get it started. Defense responded, I don't know, five or six times in a row to keep them from scoring, and the momentum that was there to be had was really, I think, captured by our guys. So I was really excited about that, and that did have to do with what Chip did and what Patrick did and Tommy. So everybody was on it, and we communicated really well, and the guys responded. The communication is one thing for us to know what to do, but we have to get the point across to the fellas, and that took place. So that was really encouraging, and that's why it was such a positive first opportunity for us. It wasn't just about the score or winning the game. It was about all of the things that we're going to need to draw on as we go forward.
All right, that's just some of Pete Carroll. He just gave a press conference. You can find that all at Raiders.com. He was very unique there. If he doesn't like the question, if it's corny, air quotes, he's just going to go on to the next question. That was brought to you by Remy Martin, 1738 Accord, named in recognition of the royal license granted in 1738. It allowed Remy Martin to plant new vineyards while other vineyards were destroyed. Originally blended for the American and Japanese palates in 1997, it's richer and mellower than Remy VSOP, with more pronounced notes of caramel, smoke, and rich oak, not sweet, but rounder and fuller. Put it into an espresso martini or throw it into one of your great sidecars. Remy Martin, so proud of this partnership. Take the crown, win with the game's smoothest pick. Remy Martin, team up for excellence as we continue. All right, we got Pete Carroll. You got the monologue. We got some calls. We got Lee Sterling. We have wasted talent. We have Scott Kaplan. Hacksaw. How am I going to get this all in, Bobby? How do I get all these live reads in? We do it. We do it every day. Live from the Raider Nation. I'm JT, and always appreciate the Raider Nation and other fans coming in and listening to what we do.
Ball resting inside the 35. Drake May is under center. They run it right up the middle. Ramondre Stevenson. Devin White there to swing him down. Oh, the former All-Pro linebacker burst through. He's had a huge first half. And the Raiders take a timeout with 47 seconds left in the second.
Devin White had a big game. JT, back with you. Brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. Right now, you can enjoy some of the best specials you'll find anywhere. With their 5-5-5 promotion, check this out, $5 tacos, $5 shots of tequila, $5 live blackjack. Talk about value. Now throughout the end of September for entertainment, October has two nights of Megan Mullaney on the 4th and 5th at the theater. And then they got comedian Dion Cole. He hits the stage on October 17th. Plus, NFR is right around the corner. These are a few reasons why Virgin Hotels Las Vegas is the place to be. So we're previewing the Chargers and what it's going to take to win that game. We got a couple of Chargers guests coming up. There are people who are a little bit more familiar with the Chargers than people you would hear here in Vegas. Devin in Tucson, you're up next on the flagship of the Raiders. Go ahead.
Hey, JT, it's actually Kevin in Tucson. First things first, it's 9/11. Wanted to remember that day and all the lives of the families that were affected that day. And very somber feeling today when I woke up and just kind of wanted to make sure everybody recalls that. So next thing next, I thought I heard an interesting stat about Ashton Jeanty. Did he have more yards after contact than he did pre-contact? And I don't know if there's any way you can look that up. I heard that. I thought that was quite interesting. Driving up to the game Monday night, looking forward to seeing everybody party with the Black Hole on Fremont Street Saturday night. And then quick question for you. I'd like to see you and EA at the Torch. When do you guys wind that down Monday?
We're at the Torch before the game, 90 minutes. So I don't know the exact time, but it's a 5 o'clock. We're not at the Torch live. Q would be at the Torch live. I and Eric Allen will be there. So when they open the doors, come on in and we are live from the Torch. I'll get you the exact time because I believe if you go 90 minutes out and the start time of this game, and is it a, I should know this. Yeah, when it comes in with this game starting. So yeah, I got it. The game starts at 7. We'll be on from 5:30 to 6:45, somewhere in that range, 5:15. So that's what we do. We don't go right to the top of the game. They do a 30-minute network show. So we're on 90 minutes before with Eric Allen. Little tease. We have Jim Plunkett live at the Torch. Jim Plunkett. We have Donald Penn live at the Torch. We have Lincoln Kennedy live at the Torch. Get some surprises at the Torch this year. You know, I'm surprised. I have no one on hold and a game's coming up. It's my fault. This must be a podcast. I actually recorded this show at 5 in the morning to come on in here and just play it. Let's wake this place up. On a serious note, the caller said it. I said it before the show started, so I apologize to everybody who was in the feed. 9/11 had a very deep, profound effect on me because I'm from New York. And I lost a fraternity brother on that day, James Joseph Kelly. Kells, 24 years ago, went to work from my hometown in Massapequa, where he lived. He got on the Long Island Railroad. He switched trains at Penn Station and took the subway all the way downtown to the World Trade Center. He was a successful young trader at Cantor Fitzgerald. He went to his office to start his day. The plane hit underneath him in the South Tower. You can imagine the confusion that day at that moment. They didn't know what happened. So he got on the phone with his wife. When Kells got on the phone with his wife was on the phone, and Kells had four daughters, four, including a set of twins, under the age of 5. Let me repeat. James Joseph Kelly Kells had four daughters, 5 and under, including newborn twins. Well, Kells stayed on the phone with his wife as long as possible until the line went dead. James Joseph Kelly lost his life with thousands of others on this day 24 years ago. It has had a profound effect on my life because this was someone from my town where I lived in and someone who I was going to spend the rest of my life with at fraternity reunions when I went home to visit my parents and sisters, and he was taken from us because of a terrorist act in New York downtown. So I always said we were all affected that day. Some were more affected than others. The widows, the people that lost family members, the firefighters, the police officers who never came home that day, and especially the 9/11 children who were not born yet, but their moms were pregnant at the time and they never met their dads. Or at the time, the people that were taken from us who were there that day and their kids were never born. 9/11 will stay with me my entire life. I will never forget. I will never forget what happened on 9/11 24 years ago. I would hope that everybody today would be able to reflect on that and find a moment of peace and think of the people that were lost that day and never forget. very important. And on days like today, I found the time to reflect in the morning. I'll reflect tonight in my prayers before I go to bed. And I think everybody, that's what happens in the world. There are some horrible acts, and you should never forget them so they don't happen again. And for James Joseph Kelly and everyone else who lost that life today, their lives that day, we will never forget. Godspeed to all the victims of that horrible day on 9/11. 24 years, and I shared this story. My son, who was born on May 24th that year in 2001, was a little baby boy swaddled next to us in a bassinet, and I couldn't believe it that I had a newborn baby boy born in May, and it was only September, and that was the world we were living in that day. And I'll never forget it. So I apologize for not opening up the show with that. But we did it, and I kind of lost track because we were doing it on the stream. And I'm pretty emotional about it because Kells was a hell of a dude, man. I wish you all met Kells, James Joseph Kelly. Because, man, I only met him a few times. He was my fraternity brother. But we had a whole life planned. And whenever he'd see me up in college, he'd say, "Hey, man, can't wait for the summer when I see you back home." And that was taken from me, but more importantly, taken from his wife and his four daughters. And his daughters now had a couple of kids, and he would have been a grandfather. He is a grandfather in heaven. Lee Sterling will join us next. We'll talk to Lee. He's got games to pick. Oh, let's see the games that Lee has for me. Lee gives you three games for free. He's a professional handicapper. That's really nice he does that. He's going to give us LSU, Florida, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and he's going to give you the winner, hopefully, of the Eagles and the Chiefs. That's coming up next. We are brought to you by the new Volvo, the 2025 XC60 luxury SUV, Volvo 215 and Rainbow.
Drake May is under center, but not in a tush push formation. He's got three receivers to the left. They send Douglas motion left to right. They fake the pitch that way. Toss it out to Stevenson, tripped up in the backfield, falls forward, and he did not get there. Jamal Adams cleaned it up on the initial hit from Jermaine Pratt, and it's fourth down.
JT with you as we continue on. That is Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders. He joined us this week. And Lee Sterling, my good friend, joins us from Paramount Sports. Says, Lee, college football is underway, man. There were some Cupcake City games. There were a lot of 70-to-blank games last week. Lee, every once in a while, they give you those cupcakes. I always think a really good team playing a bad team is not going to beat them by 50 or 60. But sometimes these coaches don't call off the dogs. They just keep pounding.
No, and then also, you have to remember, with the change as far as the clock, as far as when it's not inside of 2 minutes of the half or the end of the game, actually less plays you're taking on. So when you're seeing the 60-70 blowouts, you know, if they were played even 5 years ago, it might be 80 or 90-0. They're that much of mismatch.
All right, let's get going into college. Interesting to see what LSU does. I was surprised they didn't put up more points last week after their great first win of the season. They'll take on Florida. Florida's coming off a bad loss. I'm assuming they had a really focused ongoing week of practice here. How are we playing LSU -7.5?
So I think this is a circle game here for LSU. They were up at the half last year playing Florida, and literally, if Billy Napier loses that game, Florida moves to 4-6, and he probably doesn't make it to next weekend, maybe not even to Monday. But Florida, out of nowhere, plays their best half of football, comes back and wins the game 27-16, and knocks LSU out of the college football playoff with that come-from-behind win. The difference this year is, we don't know where Florida is mentally. That, you know, this is a team that could end up 1-5. After this game, they've got to play at Miami, Texas, and also Texas A&M. I think the LSU difference from the last couple years is their defense, their speed at linebacker. They have guys that are as fast as defensive backs, come up and make the plays here. Also, Florida quarterback DJ Lagway, I suspect he's not 100%, missed a couple weeks of fall camp. He's playing with a sleeve on his left leg here. Death Valley swallows teams whole if you're not disciplined, which Florida wasn't last week. 11 penalties for 103 yards, or you're not playing at a high level. Revenge, revenge, revenge. Whoa. Goodbye, Sun Belt Billy. LSU 31-14.
LSU in a blowout. They win easily and cover the spread. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I talked to Tim Brown last night, the Hall of Famer. He's on his way to the game here. All I know is one thing. I don't know anything about these two teams' depth of roster and all that. Texas A&M is an ATM machine. They paid off Jimbo. They paid Jimbo. All I keep hearing about is how much they spend in NIL, how much they pay for players. Are they paying for the right players? Because I know Notre Dame recruits. You get a higher education at Notre Dame, and I know Notre Dame isn't an ATM like Texas A&M. How good is the new Texas A&M team coming into this one?
Listen, I love the traditions of Texas A&M. I saw the campus, saw the, you know, their core marching onto the field, the crowd. They get over 100,000 people. I just couldn't spend 4 years there. So it doesn't excite me, but a good education. Just think that Notre Dame is a different place, a special place here. And how good is this team? They came back against Miami down 2 touchdowns on the road in a tough venue. Their quarterback, C.J. Carr, I think he's something special. There's a reason they didn't go out spending getting an NIL quarterback. A&M's quarterback, Marcel Reed, he's actually their leading rusher. Their two running backs, Le'Veon Moss and Reuben Owens, they've combined for just 164 rushing yards versus two inferior opponents here. Reed just didn't look good in his only 2 starts against top-quality teams when he took over after Game 4 next year against Texas, last year against Texas and South Carolina here. So Notre Dame can play bully ball with the best of them. Played Miami, great offensive line Miami has. They held that running back trio to just 3.5 yards per carry, and they also were coming off of a bye, an extra week to prepare here. I like Notre Dame. 30-17.
Lee Sterling joins us courtesy of Modelo. The number one beer in America is Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. All right, to the NFL, Eagles -1 against the Chiefs. And I thought the Chiefs, that's a tough spot for the Chiefs. It was a Chargers home game, but it was not a home game for anybody else. Justin Herbert tore him up in that game. Rashee Rice is gone. Xavier Worthy got hurt in the game. His status is up in the air here. The initial line I remember, I think if I was right when it came out, was Eagles +1.5. Now sharp money on the Eagles. I know you got to play on this game. Really tough game to handicap.
It is, and you got to think Kansas City's going to bring it all. They don't want to be 0-2. I think the division is much improved with the Chargers and also Denver. Even the Raiders looking much, much better this year. So they don't want to fall to 0-2. But here's the problem. They were not able to run the ball last year. Mm-hmm. And when you can't run the ball in big games, usually spells trouble. They've got problems at the receiver without Worthy and Rice. I mean, their third receivers are guys that would be fifth or sixth guys on most teams. So you go down the roster, they're going to – Patrick Mahomes might have to have his best game as a pro here for them to have a chance to win this game. I'm talking about like 23 for 27 for 320 yards. He might have to run for 50 or 60 yards. So Jalen Hurts can't be stopped. They're going to be getting back Carter, their run stuffer on defense. He'll be back, and I think that's the difference here. I like Philadelphia. Not the same team. They've lost 5 starters on defense, but they're still the champs for a reason. Philadelphia, 24-20.
All right, and wow, again, I know what happened last week, and thank you. The Raider game is your game again? I mean, there's something going on here. I know you're not getting the information from me. I'm not an inside source for you, but no. Chargers, after all that time off, Raiders have had some of their biggest wins against the Chargers in Allegiant Stadium. Chargers look to be better. They're a favorite on paper. But, hey, Pete Carroll and those adjustments, and Pete Carroll's beaten Jim Harbaugh more than Jim Harbaugh's beaten Pete Carroll. I know this is your game of the week. You got something on it. How do we get it?
Yeah, we nailed it last week. You want to get it again? Be one of the first 10 callers. Call 800-400-9741. We're going to give you the Chargers and the Raiders on me. Also, you know what? I like the game so much tonight. This could be a preview, possibly, you never know, of the NFC Championship game, Green Bay and Washington. I'll give that game to you free. Both games are on me, 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741. Get Chargers and Raiders and Commanders and Packers. Also, if you're looking for someone to help you out, we hit our 40-unit max wager last week. We're now 72-28 lifetime on these max wager games. Our biggest game in 3 years goes on Saturday, a 50-unit wager. Check out the website. You want to get involved. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Good luck, Lee. See you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
800-400-9741. He's at the phones, not some, you know, gal on his staff. And he just gave you games for free. He'll give you the Raider game for free and tonight's game for free. Now, there's a catch to that. If you do win, hopefully you do business with him. You set up an account. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. He's got some big, big players around the world. That's why we have him in the show. Q has him on the show tomorrow. The reason is we trust Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Exciting. All right. He's got the Raider game again. He picked the Raider game last week for free. I know that for sure because he texted me at the end of the game. So we got Hacksaw going to join us next. And then after that, Scott Kaplan, a wasted talent, will join us here. He's really good. He's got a big podcast. We made him an official insider of the show. So everything is rolling here right about now. We got the show really rocking. I want to thank Boyd Gaming. When you think of locals in town, you think of Boyd. 10 properties here. So whatever you're thinking, if you're looking to place a bet on the Raiders, always bet on black. Go to Boyd Gaming, to any of their 10 properties in town here, and see what they got going on. I tweeted it out today. You'll see it. Football fans catch every play at a Boyd Gaming sportsbook where the game is always on. 1 hour down, one more to go. And, man, am I excited for the next hour because I like to know what the show is going to look like and sound like. But I also like some mystery because I don't know what the guests are going to say. And I know that Hacksaw is a notorious, I'm not going to say Raider hater, but for decades he was fighting off Raider fans on his show. He's must-listen radio. So he'll tell you, I'm pretty sure he's going to pick the Chargers to win. But let's see if Hacksaw has the respect of Pete Carroll and the Raiders coming up next.